Living God, for the gift of this day, we give you thanks. The day, and certainly its very air we breathe, and its accessorizing colors, but also the emerging blossoms, bursting affirmation that death really does give way to new life. We've been surrounded for so long by all that felt and looked and clung like death. A numbing economy, a rancid body politic, international push and pull, a crushing winter. We've ached for signs of pulse and liveness and bud. But on this day, you give us more than mere blossoms. You give us eternity itself from the one who rose to wear the very crown of life. Train us, we pray, to see all of our days, whether bleak or bright, through that vivid lens. Through it, now, we lift up all that troubles and leadens us, trusting that you will bless those who ache with the wind of your spirit. Such darker pains are backlit by those simple joys that animate us along the way. Families regathered, vitality restored, rest finally found, important birthdays. Significant work to accomplish in the name of healing and recovery. But for the enduring affirmation of your risen Son, we thank you most of all. And we pray in his name and with the words that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So Peter opened his mouth and said, Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Shall we pray? Loving God, like the sun in the wee hours of this day, rise in us in fresh opportunity, in fresh light, as we too offer ourselves to the story of your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At 10 years of age, Wendell Oler was already a misfit with a reputation. His mother, for whom he had never particularly felt much love, had died. His father had joined the Marines and gone off to fight World War II, and his aunt, his mother's oldest sister, had gotten her fill of the ornery little troublemaker after only 2 years of substitute motherhood. And now, at this point in John Nichols' novel, The Wizard of Loneliness, it was Wendell's grandparents' turn to try their hand. Or was it time to pay their dues with this child who needed some place to go? It's not that they were particularly thrilled with the idea either. I mean, they were getting older and tireder as it was, and the budget was already stretched pretty thin. Sure, as the town's doctor all these years, Doc Oler should have made a nice living and could have. I mean, folks, after all, are always getting sick or having babies or needing stitches from one kind of accident or another. I mean, there was no lack of business. The trouble was, Doc Oler's heart was bigger than his bank account. When people couldn't pay for his services, well, he didn't charge for them. And that tended to be the case more often than not. And as a result, the budget was tight for the senior Olers. Another body in the house to feed and clothe and look after was not going to be an easy thing. But the money they could find a way to handle. The bigger thing was the boy and the stories that they'd been told about him stealing, about him going off on his own without telling anybody and wearing a mouth that could shoot fire. Raising him was going to be a challenge, and frankly, they weren't sure they were up for it, even if they wanted to be up for it. For his part, looking out the window of the train as it pulled into the station, Wendell's enthusiasm was no higher. Bracing his shoulders and biting his tongue and firmly resolved not to let any old grandmothers or grandfathers push him around, Wendell began to walk fiercely toward his new jailers. A misfit with a reputation that was only confirmed by the months and the trials that followed. Disrespectful, belligerent, with a penchant for ignoring the rules, Wendell was handily and willingly leading his grandmother to the end of her wits. "That boy's evil," she told her husband at the end of a particularly bothersome day. "There's no other way to describe him. I wish he'd run away. He's going to drive me crazy. I think you should give him a good lambasting." "What he needs," responded the doctor, quietly, carefully, resolutely, "apparently is for us to love him." Well, having created the world and already once destroyed it, God surveyed the second attempt. And it wasn't a very inspiring view. Purified with flood, it was already once more corrupted and consistently shaped by anything but divine intention. Selfish, destructive, willfully self-reliant. Dominion had long since given way among the peoples of the earth to domination. And the ties that bound creature to creator were threadbare and fraying. Made in God's image, humankind was managing to succeed in hiding most of any resemblance. The thought of giving this, what would we say, Wendell of a world a good lambasting must certainly have been an appealing thought to God every now and then, but considering all of the possible responses, thinking through the punishments, the disciplines, the various courses of actions, remembering what we really could be, and that above all, the object was to fashion a new bond, this parent of all parents, grandmother and grandfather to us all, quietly, carefully, and resolutely concluded, what they need, apparently, is for me to love them. And in the form of a son who touched and healed and taught and filled, in the form of a servant who washed the feet of his friends and accepted the cross of his enemies, in the form of a Savior who died that we might live, love us is precisely what God did. And on this fresh new Easter morning, we're here all dressed and shined up to tell about it. As the prophet Isaiah sings it so gratefully, surely he has borne our grief and carried our disease, wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we're healed. Or, as John put it so succinctly, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you hear that word, whoever? Because any love worthy of the name is precisely that unrestricted. God shows no partiality, Peter announces in the passage that we read a moment ago. Anyone in any nation who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to God. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Anyone, any Roman soldier like the one to whom Peter was speaking in the passage, an outsider, an enemy, and yet at the same time Peter realized a child of God. Anyone, any mischief-ridden kid who falls into trouble like most people fall out of bed. Any struggler on the street washed out there by the tidal wave of his own bad choices. Any entrepreneurial wunderkind who reaches the top only to find that something is still missing. Any average Jane or Joe for whom the meat and potatoes of life have been nourishing but not altogether filling. Anyone who stares into this empty tomb and believing follows after the one who is no longer here. Anyone. For as the Apostle Paul put it, there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, it's sort of almost beyond my comprehension. We are all too aware of the limits of our capacity to love. Among the children's letters to God is this one from Nan that pretty well sums it up. Dear God, she writes, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only four in my family, and I can never do it. And yet, despite the irreverence and the disobedience, despite the disregard, God manages to love without prejudice or partiality, offering forgiveness of sin and the peace of life to all, in every nation, to anyone. Having asked for a good lambasting, what we received instead was a son who gave his all. and love's redeeming work is done, as that great hymn puts it. Of that, the Olers would bear witness, though progress was seen more often by faith than by evidence. Life, through their love, began to change. And as grandparents, they began to see a kind of resurrection in Wendell. With patience and firmness and frequent disappointment, and at sometimes great cost, Wendell, that castaway kid who had a name but not an identity, who had a place but not a home, whose heart had hardened into a bitter chip that he wore religiously on his shoulder, Wendell was loved, not simply into the family, but loved, more importantly, into being. Shepherded from death into life by a love that would not let him go, Wendell blossomed into himself. And on this Easter morning, surrounded by our own blossoms that just yesterday, it seems, were buds, we realize anew the people that we, by God's grace, can yet be. The miracle of resurrection becomes suddenly clearer and a whole lot more personal. Because it's not just that Jesus was reborn, it's also that through Jesus who died and rose to life, through Jesus and the love of God that he represents, my life and yours and all the other Wendells of the world have been loved into bloom by a God who calls us God's own. Once we were no people, the scriptures tell us, but now we're God's people, and we'll never quite be the same again. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is Lord of all. Even you. Even me. Thanks be to God. Amen.